The Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. The Mishnah in the Sector of Perek Shishi, or the Braisho, that last Perek is actually Braisho. G'dela Torah Yesa min HaKohuna min HaMalchus. Torah is greater, the crown of Torah is greater than the crown of priesthood and the crown of kingship. Shamalchus, kingship, royalty, nignes b'shleishim mailes. A person needs 30 attributes to acquire royalty. Ba'kuna be'esrim ba'arba. And the kuna, he needs 24. Ba'atorah nignes b'mem chesborim. But to acquire the crown of Torah, one needs 48 attributes. Ve'eluhein, and then the Mishnah lists them all off. Throughout the years, we've given a series on all of the 48 attributes, just about all of them, many of them, in the Shir for Shavuos. And I took a look this time to see that we were almost all the way up to the end. Fact is, we have just two or three left. One was Alemed Almanas Lases. A person has to learn with the understand with the condition to fulfill mitzvahs. And then there were two more, and then one final one. And I decided this evening to dwell on the two following. Bahmaki Mes Rabbi, Bahmachabin Eshmu Osei. The text of the Maral is Bahamebin Eshmu Osei, which means Bahmaki Mes Rabbi, that one has to learn in such a way in which he even makes his Rebbe wise. Bamechaven eshmo asay, or amevin eshmo asay, where he has to labor to understand what he is taught, the shiur. When I learned these two, something struck me. Many of the 48 attributes deal with character and ethical development. For example, Emo, fear, Yire. He has to approach Torah with great respect and fear and trepidation, Nanova, humility, Tahara, purity, Erech Apayim, long suffering, Lev Tov, he must have a good heart. Ohuv, he must be beloved. Ohev es hamokam, he must love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ohev es habriyos, he must love the people. Sameach b'chelka, he must rejoice in his lot. Now this has to do with perfection of character. We can call this ethical or spiritual development. And we understand why, even though you don't need this to become a doctor or a professor, or a great scientist, or a great businessman. But here we're talking about the Torah Hashem from another world. So therefore, many of them deal with the particular attributes of character and spiritual development. Also, a number of these attributes of the 48 deal with what one might call practicalities. Practicalities of this world. Mutes Chora, he cannot be over involved in business if he's interested to acquire the crown of Torah. Tainug, Shena, he can't be overindulged in the luxuries of life. He shouldn't sleep more than necessary. Sichos, Chayk, idle conversation, and so forth. Because then he'll get drawn into too many worldly and earthly pursuits, and he won't spend his time and interest in Torah. Right? This we can also understand. But what struck me is I counted at least 16, which is a full third of the 48, are attributes in which the sages are instructing one that when he pursues Torah, he must pursue it from a perspective of an intellectual pursuit. It's a chokhmah, it's a wisdom, and you have to pursue Torah with all of the intellectual disciplines possible. We'll cite them. The first attribute is Talmud. We'll go with the Pirush, with the commentary of the Maral on these. First one is Talmud that I'm referring to. What does that mean? The Maral says, "Shilman barabe dafke v'leyismech al chochmosay." A person has to dafke, specifically learn by a teacher, a rebbe, in order not to rely on his own speculation, on his own wisdom, because he could be going astray in the wrong area of trying to understand Torah. The second one is Shmiyas Ozen. He has to learn Shmiyas Ozen to listen to every word that the Rebbe is saying, or every word that the sages are saying. Sometimes he can miss one word, he says, one statement or even one word, and that will distort the entire meaning. Arichas Fosayim. Arichas Fosayim is that what he learns he has to repeat over out loud. Doesn't have to be real loud, but enunciate with his lips. Kimael lahavonas hadover heite, because this will help him to understand what he is learning. Beleika sheyilmad beleiv, and not when he learns without this, merely in his heart. And certainly, if he learns quickly, you got people that like to learn quickly. Now, then he'll forget. He has to read something, but it can't be just mental. He has to repeat it over to himself. Even if we're speaking about someone who's learning by himself, say over the words to himself. That will make an imprint on his mind, and he'll be able to understand it. Otherwise, he'll forget it. Binas Halev. Number four is Binas Halev. What does it mean, understanding of the heart? Sheitein daite v'libay ala dover shelemed. Many times, a Talmud will hear something, he'll learn something, and he'll go further. No, that's not learning Torah. You won't come to Torah that way. He has to learn, hear something, and then think about it. Think about what he has just learned. Give his heart to it, and his das. Biyovin beliba heitev, and he's not finished with it until he's turned it over and thought about it and has understood it. Simcha. Omar of Nachem by Yaakov. This is a Gemara in Ervin, Samachay, Shmaitze Tzricha Tzlusa, Kiyuma de Istana. To understand Torah, you need clarity. Yiddish was called the Chlorokop. Mind has to be clear. Like the day of the Istana, Rashi says that the north wind would blow. When the north wind would blow, it would bring good air and clear air. Person can breathe good, more oxygen goes to the brain, he understands better. The Gemara there is speaking about two of the sages who were speaking and learning, and it started to rain. So they said, let's go into the shul. So the one asked the other, but you're not allowed to go into the shul to stay out of the rain. Because a shul, this is talking about the actual place where they davened. A shul has to be used for Hashem, not for your own personal purposes. He says, no, not to get out of the rain. So we could continue our speaking and learning, because Shema Yitzaboy Tznusa. You want to understand Torah, you have to have a chlorocop, you have to have a very clear head. Shimush Chachomim, that's number 9 of the series. A Talmud Mishabel al Arab, the Talmud must associate and bond to the Rebbe. Ubezeh HaTalmud Mikabel bin Arab, and then he'll be able to understand his wisdom. Divuch Haverim, Dal Yedei Haverim Meitze HaDover Bepeil, he must learn with a Haver, with at least one Haver. Or he can learn with more, with a group. Why? So the Maral says, because with Haverim, first of all, then he has to bring his thoughts out into reality to express them to his Haver. And from there he gets a great clarity. And they guard each one, guards the other from error. Because if one says something wrong, the other one will shout. It's not right. And if he says something wrong, then I will shout. If you learn it by yourself, you learn something wrong and you carry on. And they keep the other one, each one keeps the other one on his toes. And he sharpens him. And each one makes the other one wiser. And through this they come, through a broad understanding of what the Talmud is talking about. And that's why the Chazal would say, Me chaverai yeser mehem. I learned more from my chaverim than even my rebbis. Mibnei sheheim shoalim ze'ezeb eimdim alikar hachochmo. Because with a chaver, you have an argument back and forth, and they ask each other, and from there you come to the truth in Torah. Number Yud Aleph, Pilpul Talmidim. You want to acquire the crown of Torah, you have to teach Talmidim, teach students. This is another level. Domer of Nachman Bar Yaakov, this is the Gemara in Tainis, Daf Zayin Omer Aleph. Nimshla Torah le'etz. The Torah is compared to an etz, to a tree. Etz chayim hi l'machatzikim bo. It is a tree of life to those who uphold it. Why is it compared to a tree? Ma eitz cotton madlikes agodl. Just like you need little twigs to bring fire to a great log, af divrei Torah haktanim machadedim asagdolim. So does it come with divrei Torah, the little students, they light the fire of the Rebbe. Because one will ask him this question, that question. They're simple questions, they might be. But meanwhile, they penetrate. And then the Rebbe has to answer. And from there comes a whole discussion. And again, Rach the Schweitzer. So that's why they said that from my Rebbe's I learned a lot. From my Haverim, I went even a higher level. And from my Talmidim, I even went a higher level of understanding. Be Yishuv. Yishuv means that when you learn, you have to be relaxed. You have to be settled. You have to be calm. Learning on a subway is not, I mean, if you have no better situation, you have to do it, but it's not the most advisable. You see? That's Torah says needs yishuv. Because you want to understand the depth of Torah, you got to be calm. You can't be rushed. You can't expect that any minute someone is going to come in and interrupt you. Are you going to be cold here or cold there? No. Mitech HaYishuv. Im ein daitum yusheves, ein yochol lilmai. If he's not settled in his mind, how can he learn Torah? B'mikra, b'mishna. He has to learn mikra, chumish. He has to learn the Mishnah. What is this? That there's a Seder, there's a syllabus, there's a curriculum. Not like many think, well, you learn whatever you want, whatever you feel like. It says, no, first he has to learn the Mikra, the Chumash, the Nach, then he has to learn the Mishnah. Emunas Chachomim. He has to have faith in the sages, or on those who are teaching them. The Ozroi sheyikne chokmas hachachomim, because then he can he is open to receive from them their wisdom, and he can become wise like them. But if he's sitting there, and his attitude is, look, what he's telling me, I don't know if it's true or not. I have no faith in them. That's not a Rebbe. And certainly that's not the way to come to the sages. Why should he labor in what they're saying when he doesn't even know it's worthwhile? Umishashe b'talmudai. That's the 42nd one. Mishashe b'talmudai. What does that mean? Many times you have a Talmud. He learns something, and then he starts to be mefalpel with it. If you learn something that doesn't make sense at all, you've got to try to figure it out. Doesn't make sense. It's not rational. But you learn something, you understand it, but then he'll want to ask a kasha on that from someplace else. People, unfortunately, this is a very, very popular method today in many places, where they start with the pilpul. He says, no, heaven forbid. Sheina kefeitz lefalpul, kedem shumish yasi b'talmudei heitev, kedem. When you learn something, you have to digest it. You have to think about it. You have to assimilate it. Many times it's even good to sleep on it, because if you look at a blood gemara today and you go to sleep and you come back to it tomorrow, it's a different thing. Different thing. The mind has started to take it in. All of a sudden, it's a different clarity. Then most of the time you'll find that the so-called questions you had yesterday that you were going to ask from here or there have disappeared. It was because you never understood it. Not only that, but people build castles in the sky. They have the false understanding of something. And then they go and they ask a question from another place on that, and then they come to a conclusion. And then they build and build. That's why it states, Mishashe b'talmudai eino kefetz lefalpul. He must not jump in a hurry to debate a whole concept when he has not absorbed or come to the clear understanding of the concept itself. Kodem shumishashi b'talmudei heitev. We shouldn't learn derech mehirus. The 42nd in the series are four things. Shoel umeshiv, shomea umosiv. The Maral brings he has to be makpid, he has to... Each one is demanding on the person. He has to be a shoel. That means he must ask. You don't understand, you have to ask. If you don't ask, you won't come to the wisdom of Torah. Even if you're learning by yourself, you've got to ask. Ask yourself. You have to be a shoel. Any one of these are lacking, person can't come to acquire the crown of Torah. It's 48. Meshiv, you have to answer. Someone asked you something, you can't brush him off. You got to think of an answer for him. Say, someone asked you a question, can't tell him I can't be bothered. You have to think of an answer for him. Shemeya, you have to listen to what the other one is telling you. He tells you something. Don't brush it off right away. Listen. Digest it. And then umosif. And then learn how to add to what he's saying. In other words, if someone tells you something and there's a kernel in there, which is good, then you have to develop it for him. Be masif. Since you have to be a shoel, you have to ask, you have to be meshiv, you have to answer, you have to shomea, listen to what someone else is saying, umosif, and develop it for him. Help him develop it. This will bring to greater Torah. The Maral says, Yemakbid al kol echad ve echad mehem dafke. Ubeze yovei l'archoves hatere ve chochmose. This will bring you to the broadening of the Torah. And then we have finally the two that we mentioned. Hamakimes rabbi, you make your Rebbe wise. He writes, Machadides rabbi, this is what we refer to before as a small twig lights a great log. I really don't know though how this is different than what we said before, Pilpul HaTalmidim. So, alright. And then the final one, the gifts of the Maral, is we have a Machavin Eshmoase, a Mavin Eshmoase. This is something very interesting. A Mavin Eshmoase. You must learn to understand the Shiur. You must learn to understand what your Rebbe tells you. What does that mean? You must learn to understand naturally. You must learn to understand what he's telling you. That's what you're there for. Now, he says you're not allowed to be Makabel Es Hashmua Ad Sheyovin Eso. That you're not allowed to say, I understand, when you don't understand. But like you make Tzas Talmidim, not like some Talmidim. Shemakabel Dover Afel Gav Shein Mevinim. That they'll say, okay, good. Even though they don't have a clear understanding in it. They'll say, yeah, I understand. And they don't understand. Veimahaleka Kabalti. Now he explains, why is that different than Binas Halev? Binas Halev is you have to give thought to what you learn. This is not a light exercise. This is not for the faint-hearted. It's not like reading the newspaper. You have to read it. You have to say it over. Then you have to give solid thought to it. That's Binas Halev. But many times, even after you give thought to it, you give a lot of thought to it, I still don't understand it. I still have questions on it. Then, Amevin es Shmoasai, then you're not allowed to say you understand it. So what should you do? You can tell your Rebbe you don't understand it. All right. But what's he going to do? You don't? What can he do? He told it over 6 times already. You don't understand it, so what can he do? Yeah? Right. That's all right. But not like people... that they don't understand something, and because they don't understand it, therefore they say a distorted interpretation in it. Now, you say, lo yadati. Someone will ask you, what does this mean? I don't know. My Rebbe explained it to me 30 times, but I never understood it. See, lo kibalti, I don't know. How many times does Rashi say in Chumash, lo yadati, I don't understand it? That's how maybe in Eshmuase. You don't understand something perfectly, you have to have an intellectual honesty with yourself. You don't understand it. What will be the difference? Because if you know you don't understand it, you will keep seeking an interpretation. There are things that it's taken me 30 or 40 or 50 years to understand. Because I realize that I never understood it. So I keep looking and looking. I mean, I do other things too, that's not the only thing I do. But one day I see, oh, now I understand it. Now I understand it. If I just said a distorted interpretation on it, I would never even realize I didn't understand it. And that's the only way you can come to the truth of Torah. So that's what it means. That you're not allowed to accept an interpretation of the Torah in any facet. Well, many times, I mean, we must do something even though we don't understand it. But as far as understanding it, if you don't understand it fully, then you have to have the hopes. I'll grow in wisdom. One day I'll see. There's a saying in the Torah, Aniyim b'mokamachir v'ashirim b'mokamachir. In one place, in the sea of the Talmud, you can be very poor, very lean. But in another place, you can be very wealthy. That means... you might not catch a fish here, but you go over to some other place, you'll catch a fish. You're learning something here, you won't understand it. One day you'll learn something some other place, and it'll shed light over here. But that's again only because you were convinced you didn't understand it. That's what it means, Amevin Eshmoase. So here we read No less than 16, a full one-third of the 48 of the attributes that are not dealing with a religious approach at all, are not dealing with a spiritual perfection, not dealing with an ethical perfection, not dealing with the reality of this world, but they're dealing with a intellectual approach to Torah, how one can come to understand the Torah. So someone asked you, is Torah an intellectual exercise, an academic exercise? You would say, certainly not. Look, it's not the philosophy of the nations of the world. It's not science. It's not mathematics. All right. Then it's a religious exercise. Or perhaps it's an ethical exercise. A spiritual exercise. Well, why would we have all of this then? The answer is it's both. It's no doubt it's an ethical and spiritual, you need an ethical and spiritual approach, like we mentioned, because you're learning the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says he gives his chokhmah li-re'ov to those who fear him, to those who can rise up to his level. So therefore there were many like tahara, you need purity. The person has to be erech apayim, long-suffering, and so forth and so on. But also, not only also, but as much as one needs a spiritual and ethical approach, one must realize that you're dealing here not only with a chokhmah wisdom, but with the wisdom of all wisdoms. And one can only acquire those wisdoms, that wisdom, through an intellectual approach at its very, very best. Like we mentioned here. He has to labor with his mind. He has to labor with his lips. He has to labor with his chavrusa. He has to labor with his Rebbe. He has to be stubborn to go over and over and never even to consider accepting it until he knows it perfect. Because it is a wisdom. It's the greatest of all wisdoms. And just like any wisdom, you can't come to. If you're not going to come through the roots of intellectual and rational approaches. 100 times more this is necessary when one comes to Torah. What do we hear from all of this? And without it, we won't acquire Torah. That's what the sages are telling us. B'mem ches tvorim atere liknas behem. You need 48 attributes to come to the fullness of Torah, the greatness of Torah. So what do we hear from all of this? There's no place in Torah for what you might call an intellectual sloppiness. There's no place in Torah for an intellectual mediocrity. Heaven forbid. There's no place in Torah for superficiality. There's no place in Torah for shallow speculation. And there's no place in Torah for dogma. It's not a gospel. But a gospel. A gospel is something that was created, you accept it, you don't ask any questions, and that's the beginning and end of it. Hardly so with Torah. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu told Yisrael, Kihi chachmaschem ubinaschem le'enei bein ha'goyim, bein ha'amim. This is your wisdom and your great understanding, which all of the nations of the world will respect you because of that. Asher yishmaun es kol ha'chukim ha'elu. When they hear the greatness of the wisdom of the Torah. He didn't say, we're not speaking about the righteousness of the Torah. He didn't say, he ha chesed or ha tzidkis ha'Torah. No. He chokhmaschem u'binaschem. When they see the wisdom of the Torah, the great chokhmah, the great bina of the Torah, the omru, they will say, Rak am chochom yenavon hagoy agodl hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could only have given Yisrael this Torah. Because only a nation that has such wisdom and such deep penetrating understanding could come to such a wisdom. This is the pasuk in Parshas Vayeschanan, Bamid Dvorim Dalet Vov. Then it states immediately after, Rak yishom alecho, ushmo nafshicha meyod pentishkach es advorim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, guard yourself, lest you forget these things. What is he talking about? He's talking about these things. We're talking about big things here. Guard yourself. Don't think that you can come to this through an shallowness or an intellectual sloppiness. No. And Rashi says, V'tasum alamitosom techoshvu chachomim unevonim. When you understand the Torah and you fulfill the Torah properly, nations of the world will say how great, wise, and knowledgeable people you are. Vim ta'avsu osam. But if you will not study the Torah properly, and this is studying the Torah, if you will not study, you will not do your homework, and you'll distort the Torah, what will the people say? Rashi says, techosh pushotim. You will become fools in the eyes of the world. Fools in the eyes of the world. In other words, from one aspect, the nations will say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have only given that Torah to geniuses. Who could understand that wisdom? And look, they're masters of that wisdom. And from the other aspect, they'll say, he gave that Torah to a nation of idiots. Shouting, that's what Rashi says. Gave that Torah to a nation of idiots. Look at them. That's when we don't do our homework. We don't follow what's here. And we make out of the Torah some shallow so-called religion or philosophy. They'll say they're idiots. Vim ta'avsu esom, mitek shicho, techosh v'shotim. They will say you are fools and idiots. The Mishnah at the end of Baba Basra, Omar Rabbi Shmuel, Haretze Shiyachkin. Do you want wisdom? You want to be wise? And again, we're not talking about righteousness, we're talking about wisdom. You want to be wise, I'll tell you how to go be wise. Yasek Bedine Momonus. Learn Baba Basra, he says. Learn Baba Kam and Baba Metzia. Learn the laws of litigation and the monetary laws of the Torah. She'ein loch mikzeya b'Torah godl mehen. Because there is no area in the entire Torah that has such deep, unending wisdom. Mehenam kemayan anoveya. They are like a spring of fresh water that never ends. Ba'aretzis yasek b'dinim omenes. And he says, I'll give you another good tip. You want to study dinim omenes, you want to study these laws, yishamis as Shimon ben Anis. Go learn by Shimon ben Anis. Shimon ben Anis was the wisest of the sages when it came to this area in Torah. And the Maral explains because it states v'hamishpat lelakim. When it comes to mishpat, these are the laws of monetary laws. This belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because its depth is so great. Perfect justice to resolve disputes. That's only by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the perfection. He says when it comes to do chesed, You do a little more, you do a little less, it's still chesed. When it comes to tzedakah, you give the poor a little more, you give them a little less, it's still tzedakah. Not so with din u'mishpat, not so with justice. Justice, you move a little to the right, you distorted the justice. You move a little to the left, you distorted the justice. Justice has to be perfect. And only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can reach that perfection. We, our obligation is to seek that perfection. But only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the justice system is always portrayed by the scales. The balance has to be perfect. And he says, this is why Moshe Rabbeinu, Yisrael, came with the idea, why don't you appoint judges to help you? Why are you trying to judge all people yourself? But Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't think of that. You've got to go tell Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe had another problem. Because it states that Moshe was Isha Lakim. Lakim means Mishpat, justice. Only Moshe could reach that level. He had no right to give it over to other judges. Only he could reach that level. But Yisro explained to him, we have to seek the best level of justice that we can attain in this world. We're not in another world. Even when one studies the areas of Torah that have to do with, which are known as the Chelak HaYireh, to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which have to do with the great ethics, the principle of self-perfection. Shlema Melech wrote on that, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. Echocha Mikol Odom, the wisest of old men, and he refers to the Yiras Hashem, the fear of Hashem, as the Reishis Chochma, the beginning of all wisdom. So wisdom. Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon, is calling it wisdom. And the great Gaon, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, who he was a great in Torah, in every area of Torah, the Nigla and the Nista, be it the revealed wisdoms or the concealed wisdoms of the Torah, he goes to great length every opportunity. Then he says, not like people think, that to learn Baba Basra, Baba Kama, yeah, that's wisdom. But to learn the other, that's Musa, that's religion. No. The greatest wisdom of Torah is there. He says, we're talking about Chochmah, wisdom. Do not our sages say, Ein bo yirei chet v'lei amoras chosid? Do not our sages say that you cannot fear Hashem if you're empty from wisdom? You cannot be a chosid. A chosid is a person of saintliness, of great righteousness, if you're ignorant in the ways of the Torah. They're talking about wisdom. And then he brings the pasuk from Iyov, Perakei Pasuk Chav Ches, Hein Yiras Hashem Hi Chochma. Hein, the fear of Hashem is a wisdom. And he says, the Chazal ask, what does it mean, Hein? Achas. He levado chochma. Not only is it a wisdom, the fear of Hashem is the greatest of all wisdoms, the deepest of all wisdoms. And he writes, it wouldn't be called a wisdom if it's not something that demands enormous study, enormous homework. He says, Acha emesu ki even godol sorech al kol hadvorim eila. The truth is that one has to give great study, mental pursuit, talking about mental pursuit, to all of these things that have to do with Yiras Hashem, to liknei sam lasigom, to acquire them. And this is what Shlaim HaMelech wrote in Mishlei, Beis Dalet im tevakshenu hakosev v'chamat monim. If you will search for it, like silver, and like hidden treasure. Os tovin yiras Hashem. Then you will understand. We're talking about understanding. You will penetrate the depths of the fear of Hashem. V'das timso. And the das Hashem, das elokim timso, and the knowledge of Hashem. And he writes in his generation, he says, it's a churban. It's a churban, it's a whole destruction. Why? Sheyidmu rab b'nei odem shachasidus toloi. He says, people think, he's writing this in his days, you can imagine in our days, people think that chasidus, what's a chasid? Chasid is the highest form of saintliness. People think chasidus is dependent in amiras mizmorim, that saying of Tehillim. You spend half the day saying Tehillim, you become a chasid. Vidui maruchim, or vidui maruchim, this means the vidui. The Shamnu, the Bagadnus, or Tzemes Koshim, you fast, or Tfilas Kerech V'Shelek, or you break, shovel away the snow, break the ice, and you table yourself into the cold water. People think that's how you become a Chosid. That's how you become a Chosid. Chosid means Yiras Hashem. Shlema Melech said it's the greatest of all wisdoms. That's how you come. You want to get even a high school diploma, you can't get that way. You're going to become to Shlema Melech's wisdom. Im tevakshano, he says, if you search for it like hidden treasure, then you'll come to it. He says, kulam devorim asher ein haseichel nechabehem, ein adas shekto. Shekoto, these are things which the seichel, the intellect, the rationale that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the person, the greatest power of man, cannot make peace with, cannot tolerate. That a person can rise to the wisdom of Hashem, am chochem v'novim mimenu. Saying Tehillim is very important, but to spend a day saying Tehillim, the whole day, and that's how he's going to come to it. Or with the viduim, or with fasts. This is how you come to wisdom. You look in the Chazal, they're telling you how to come to wisdom. 16 attributes we mentioned. That's what it states, what we just learned. If you will walk in my statutes, to amelim b'Torah, the labor of day and night, the mental labor of day and night, trying to understand the Dvar Hashem, the words of Hashem. And this attribute which we mentioned, Amachim Es Rabbi, that you want to come to greatness in Torah, you have to have the ability to make your Rebbe wise. Rashi brings the Gemara in Asech and Perek HaPoalim, Asech Es HaPoalim, Pei Dalet Seif Omer Aleph, which we've quoted many times. It's a fantastic Gemara. He says, Rashi says, I'll give you an example of Amachim Es Rabbi. The Gemara says, Neach Nafshi de Ribshim Ben Lokish, Vavakomitzta Reb Yechlen Basrei Tupa. Reish Lakish, the favorite disciple, the great disciple of the great Rabbi Yechanan, who was the Rebbe of the whole Talmud Yishalmi, died. And Rabbi Yechanan was very, very upset. He became depressed. And he wasn't snapping out of it. Omer Rabbonan man lezel, lezfei ledaite. The Rabbonan said, the Talmidim said, we have to do something for the Rebbe to bring his spirits back up. Let's send someone, one of our best there, to his yeshiva. And he'll replace Reish Lakish. Nezer Reb Lezer ben Pidos and Machadid in Shmaitza. So they chose Reb Lezer ben Pidos because he was very, very sharp. Very, very sharp as a razor. You go to yeshiva, you'll be another Reish Lakish, and then every spirits will be lifted. Also, Yosef Kamei. So he went to sit and learn by Rabbi Yechanan. Kol milsa davomer Rabbi Yechanan. Whenever Rabbi Yechanan would say a chidush, you know, something very, very profound, he would stand up, he would stand up and say, I have a proof that what the Rebbe is saying is right. And he would say it over the proof. Omar, one day Rabbi Yehudim said to him, he says, listen, Atke Balakisha, you think you're like Resh Lakish. Balakisha ki ava amina milsa, when I would say a chidush, something of great profundity, when I would say a chidush in the Shia, Resh Lakish would stand up, ava makshli esin vi arba kashisha. And he would ask me, he would ask 24 contradictions to tear apart what I've just said. From 24 places in the whole Talmud, he would show that what I said was wrong. And I would have to answer 24 answers to sort him out. And through this we came to another understanding and depth in Torah that I never came to before. And now you stand up whenever I say something and you say, you have a proof to what I'm saying is right. You think I don't know it's right. If I didn't think it was right, I wouldn't say it. So what are you telling me it's right? In other words, he's telling me I need a Talmud not to tell me what I'm saying is right. I need a Talmud that what I'm saying is wrong. Rashi brings this as an example of a machim as rabbi. Make the Rebbe wise. Because then through the pilpul, through the debate, the hot debate and argument, we will come to greater depths and truth in Torah. Now, does this sound like superficiality? 24 kashas he would ask Rabbi Yehudim. Does this sound like mediocrity? Like shallow speculation? Does this sound like dogma? Like gospel? How dare you ask a question on the gospel? To throw you out of the church? How dare you question it? And the Chazal, the sages, praise this to the point where they put this attribute here in this brayso, that this is the only way you can come to true Torah. It's an old saying. Falsehood has to fear questions. Truth doesn't have to fear questions. Something, someone saying something false, yes, don't you ask anything. Truth? Truth doesn't have to fear anybody. To the contrary. With the sorting out of the questions, you'll become even to greater truth. And the Torah is the ultimate of all truth. I'll tell you even better. There's a Gemara in Chulin. Gemara brings Masechta Chulin. The Vav Amud Beis. The first parak. We'll be learning this in Yud Hashem next month. Mora brings Hey the Rabbi Shua ben Zorus ben Chomov, Shulder Meir. There was a Rabbi Shua ben Zorus who was the son of the father of Rabbi Meir. The son of the father-in-law of Ramea, doesn't that make him a brother-in-law? No? Brother-in-law of Ramea. he came and gave testimony, Lifnei Rebbe, before Rebbe Yehuda Anosi, al Ramea, and Ramea, which would have been his brother-in-law. Ramea was a great Tana. She'ochal ale she'yerek b'bei she'on. That he ate some vegetables from an area in Eretz Yisrael, which was called Beis Sha'on. There is a Beis Sha'on today in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if it's the same one or not, but Beis Sha'on. And he didn't give maestros from it. He ate it without being mafrish without separating the 10% for the levim. Now, how could he do that? Only on the basis that he held that that was not, that did not have kedushas oritz, didn't have the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. Rashi later on explains, it's not that he didn't consider geographically part of Eretz Yisrael was, but after the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, when Ezra went up to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't reconsecrate certain areas. And they left it, Bedavka, without a consecration, in order it shouldn't have Kedushas or Oritz, and in order then on Shvish, when we're not allowed to plant, the Anim will have places to go and get something to eat from. So it doesn't mean necessarily that it was not geographically Eretz Yisrael, but we do see from here that that today, in Rebbe's time, Rebbe lived after the Churban, that it did not have the Kedushas Oritz, the sanctity of the land, because he ate it without giving the Meister, giving the portion to the Levim. Now, this was a great Chidush. This was something very, very profound. Why? Because all of the scholars for generations held that Beis Sha'on had Kedushas Oritz, had the sanctity of the land. When Rebbe heard this testimony, he decided to study the entire issue. He reopened the issue and studied it. And with his greatness, he went through the entire issue and came to the conclusion that Remeir was right. It did not have, does not have the Kedushas Oritz, the sanctity of the land. V'hita Rebbe es Beis Sha'on kula al yodei. And because of that, he came out with a psak din. He wrote a decision to Klal Yisrael that any fruits, any vegetables, we'll say it was, that are in the Beis Sha'on area, you do not have to give your trumas and maisers from there. Chovro olav och echov ubeis oviv. He was bombarded by his family and others. Omrulai, they said to him, Mokam she'avosecho ve'avais avosecho nogo bo'isa. A place where your ancestors, your grandfathers and your fathers, all held that it was forbidden to eat from there without giving trumas and maisras. Atotina heter, meheter, and you have the audacity to come now and reverse a decision that was going on in Klal Yisrael for generations. Dorishlen mikrozeh. So he said, I'll explain it to you. It states, V'kitesh nechas nechesh esherosa moshe ki ana yomi mahimo yobene Yisrael makatrim lay. Meaning, during the time of Moshe, there was the Nechash and Nechoshes. Moshe had made that. That when there was a plague in Israel, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to take a serpent, a picture of a serpent, and put it on the staff, the whole business. Many generations later, they burnt this. They destroyed it. Because the people started to worship it. Efshe bo asav lebiare, bo yushofet velebiare. He says, didn't the early kings destroy this? Why was it only destroyed much later? Because they didn't know. They had a dilemma. Because Moshe had made it. He was told to make this by Hashem. The people had turned it now into an idol. Did they have a right to destroy it or not? So the previous generations didn't touch it. Until this generation. Until that generation. So he says, why did that generation know and the previous generations didn't know? It must have been that their fathers had left them over room to grow great in. What does that mean? That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu concealed from the previous generations a clarity on this halacha from them. And therefore they didn't have a clarity in that halacha. And he only allowed it to be revealed a few generations later, many generations later. But why? To give a chance for the later generations to become great in Torah and contribute something to Torah that the previous generations did not contribute. Because if he'll reveal everything to the previous generations, Rashi says, what will be left over for the children to do? So that's why the previous generations were in a dilemma whether they were allowed to destroy this. While the later generations came to a clarity, he says the same thing here. He says the previous generations evidently were in a dilemma when it came to Beis Sho'on. Yeah. Af ani. But I am no longer in the dilemma. I have a clarity on this. By me it's 100%, 1,000%. So you'll ask me, but how can I do something that the previous generations never dared do? Mokam einichuli abeisai lisgadibay. Evidently HaKadosh Baruch Hu concealed it from my fathers in order that I should be able to come out with this profound interpretation in Torah. Mikan, Gemara says, we learn from this. The Talmud Chacham shama dvar halacha. A Talmud Chacham comes along. Naturally, we're speaking about someone who is qualified for this. But you have someone of great qualifications. He's a great gaon. And he goes through a difficult halacha. And he comes out with a clarity. Either way, either it was always held mutar and he says it's osur, it was always held osur and he says it was mutar, like here. And they come and they say, how can you do such a thing? Till now, all of the previous ones held, it was forbidden. And he's a person who's qualified. So it says, from here we learn that if a Talmud Chacham does such a thing, ein mezichin esai, you don't push him away. Amri lo ein maznichin esai, others say, you don't insult him. Or ein maschichin esai. You don't say, it's arrogance. Or it's brazen. Or he doesn't know what he's doing. Push him away. Yeah, don't have anything to do with him. Or you don't intimidate him to reverse his decision. This is what the Gemara says we learn from Rebbe. Because the previous generations came out clearly that Beis Sho'on has Kedushas Oretz. And therefore you're not allowed to eat from his vegetables without giving Chumas and Maestros. And Rebbe generations later came out and said they were wrong. And I can prove they were wrong. And Rebbe was qualified. He was a qualified judge. And therefore it's my obligation to bring the truth of Torah to the world. But how can it be that you knew and they didn't know? Mokam einicha li mina lisgadet boy. Evidently it was left for me. I was once learning with Rav Gifter, my Rebbe. It was a Gemara in Ksubas. Very difficult Gemara. Very difficult Gemara. And all of the Rishonim labored and labored to explain what the Gemara meant. Some this way, some that way, some this way. But all of the interpretations were not real good interpretations. Comes along the B'nai Yeshua. B'nai Yeshua was a great Rav. He was the Rav of Berlin. He was an early, from the early, later Gaonim. Probably lived in the 1600s. Comes along the B'nai Yeshua. He says, a pshat in the Gemara that is so straight and so simple that it just doesn't make sense why nobody said it. Profound, straight, simple. And then he ends, Mokom heinichali mi shemaim legalizeh, lisgadeboy. Shemaim left this for me. I didn't know what that meant. So I asked my Rebbe, what does this mean? So he explained it. So he commented, without a doubt, without a doubt, it was Mokum Heinichalei Mishamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had concealed this from the Rishayim to give the Pnei Yeshua a chance to give this to the world. He says, without a doubt. Because it was such a straight shot that worked out so perfectly, and all of the Rishayim were grappling with it, the earlier Gaon. This is what the Rebbe says, and this is what the Gemara learns from it. Mikan, the Talmud Chacham, says something. He's a great Talmud Chacham, he's qualified, you have to respect it. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to accept it, but you don't push him away. You have to respect it. We see even more than this. Even more. We have the well-known Gemara in Perek HaZohar, Daf Nun Tes Amar Aleph. Mara brings Tanan Hosam. We learned there. Chot Chulius Venosan Chol Ben Chulia Lechulia. A Shaila came to the great court, to the Sanhedrin. There was a certain tanur, a stove. It was made of pieces. It was all put together. It was, they put it into a blast furnace. It was made of earthenware. And they put it into a blast furnace where it was all together. Later on, it was taken apart. And they put it back together again, but with sand in between the pieces. And this presented a difficult question to the sages. If it could become tomei or not, impure or not. It had come into contact with something that was impure. Could it become impure or not? So there was a whole diyun on this. The case was brought to all the courts. Eventually it came to the Sanhedrin. And they went into the case. They argued the case, debated the case. Everyone did his homework. Finally, they came to a split decision. Blezer Metahir, the great Reblezer, he was known as Reblezer HaGodl, he says it's Tohar, it's pure. Chachomim Metamin, but the Chachomim, that's the majority of the Sanhedrin said no, it's Tome, it's impure. The great Reblezer went and he brought them that day all the proofs in the world, rational proofs in the world, to support his decision. The Chachamim refuted all of them. They refuted them. They said they would not accept them. Blazer became very frustrated. He says, here I've searched through the entire Talmud and I brought you so many proofs. Each one you will not accept. You do not see it my way. What else can I do? But he says, I know I'm right, Blazer said. So what did he do? He went and he said, Imalocha kemesi chruvze yechiyach. There was an old a carob tree near the Beis HaMedrash there. So he said, let that carob tree be the proof. The carob tree jumped out and moved to the side. They said, you don't bring proofs to Torah questions from the Gerbtri. Then he said, "Im aloha kamesi amasamayim yekiku." He said, "If the aloha is like me, let the spring," and there was a spring in an irrigation river, canal that was going nearby, "let that testify in my favor." The water started to back up. They said, "Don't bring any proofs from the canal." He says, if the aloha is like I say, let the walls of the Beis HaMedrash be the proof. The walls of the Beis HaMedrash started to fall. Rabbi Shua, who was from the Chachomim, he stood up and he shouted at the walls. He says, "Im tamine Chachomim anatskim zezem aloha tem matipchum." He says, "Tamidei Chachomim are debating an issue in aloha. What are you mishing around for? What are you mixing in for?" So the walls stopped falling. And it says they remained leaning forever, because they wouldn't go back because of the honor of Rabbi Lezer, and they wouldn't fall because of the honor of Yeshua. They die in Matin V'Aimdin. Chosef Omar finally became so frustrated in Rabbi Lezer. He said, "If the aloha is like me, let heaven testify in my favor." Yotzesel Baskel, a voice from heaven came down, and she said, "Ma lochem eitzel Reb Lezer she'aloha kemeisi b'chol mokom? What are you starting up with Reb Lezer for? Don't you know that the aloha is always like Reb Lezer? He knows better than you." Omad Reb Shua again got up, Al Raglov. And he said, "Leba shomayim he. Torah is not in the heavens. Kfar nitna Torah me'ar Sinai. It was already given to us. Ein onu mashkichin bebasko. Shekfar kosafta ba'ar Sinai betorah acherei rabim lahatis." We do not pay attention to a basko because that's against the Torah. Because the Torah already said that you shall abide by the majority opinion of the judges. They ended the case there. And they refused to accept the decision of Rabbi Lezer. Now, the Gemara goes further and says, Ashkeche Reb Nosson Eliyahu. At that time, Reb Nosson met Eliyahu Hanovi, the prophet. He said, "My Ovid Kutshi Brichu Bai Hishaita. What is Hashem doing now?" Eliyahu said, "Kochayt." He's very happy, Hashem. Very happy, he's having a good time. Why? He said, "Nitzchuni b'ni, nitzchuni b'ni. My children are fighting against me. They've been victorious over me. They've been victorious over me." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is having a good time. What does all this mean? Now, Mitzar HaSeichel, if we go with rationale, Reb Lezer saw from his perspective that this should have been impure, that stove should have been tomei. The Rabbonin saw from their perspective that it should be tomei, impure. And the halacha in the Torah is kerabim, that you finalize the judgment, the verdict, in accordance to the majority opinion. That's mitzad seichel adam, mitzad logic and rational intellect, human intellect. Okay, but we have a kasha, we have a question, very strong question on this Gemara. It is possible for human intellect to err, that we know. And Reb Lezer was bringing proofs that the human intellect here was in error. He said, "Good, intellectually you have refuted my proofs." They had to, because if they wanted, they would have accepted them. "So intellectually you refuted my proofs. But you're wrong. And I'll prove it. I'll prove it from the cherub tree. I'll prove it from the canal. I'll prove it from the walls of the Beis HaMedrash. I'll prove it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself." And the Baskel came down. So So you're wrong, and I'm right. So reverse your opinion, your judgment. They refused to. How can this be? There's no doubt they were wrong. That you can't doubt, because the Baskel said not like that. So how could they not reverse their opinion? What did Rabbi Shua want? The Maral says as follows. And then yet HaKadosh Baruch was happy over it. See? So the Maral says as follows. He says, yes, true. They were wrong. The Blessed was right. But that was not Torah. Torah means coming to the highest level of human, of coming to the highest level of truth through human intellect. That's what Torah means. Rabbi Lezer was coming to the truth not through human intellect, but through other spiritual means. That's not Torah. And that's what Rabbi Shua answered him. He says, the walls of the Beis HaMedrash, what does that have to do with deciding the question in Torah? The Torah says clearly, it says every judge and every Talmud Chacham is obligated to interject his greatest powers of human intellect to understand the Torah and to come to the most logical conclusion possible. And that must be his opinion as a judge. He's not allowed to say that according to my logical opinion, this is the halacha, but I am going to render a different decision. Would be allowed to do that. Not allowed to. And the Torah said further that if there's not a unanimity, then we abide by the majority opinion. True, the Blessed was coming to another truth, but that was not the truth of Torah. The truth of Torah was the Chachomim. And that's what Rabbi Yeshua said. What's a Baskel have to do with Torah? Torah was given already to us. And this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to learn Torah and to fulfill Torah. Otherwise, he would have just given us buttons, and you want a computer, you want an answer, so you push the button, and the Baskel comes down. What do we need Torah for? Push a button and the Baskel comes. Or he would have just given us a microphone to speak to the prophet. Get on the cell phone, put in your call, and the answer will come. What do we need the whole Isaac of Torah for, with all the labor and everything else and so forth? He says, for sure he was right. But it's not Torah. And he says, the Chachomim wanted Torah. Yeshua says, what's we're going to decide halachas? Where in the Torah does it say that you make decisions in accordance to the walls of the Beis HaMedrash? If they fall down, yes. If they don't fall down, no. According to the cherub tree, even sugar. According to the Baskel, afila prophet comes down, we're not allowed to change. Einan novi reshai lachadesh. A prophet doesn't have a right to go against Torah's Moshe. According to our greatest abilities, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu said in his Torah, that this stove is not pure. Even the prophet comes down. He's not allowed to listen to him. Now, why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy? It's Kuni Bani. He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy because Torah is a higher level. There are different levels in the world. Torah is a higher level than the walls of the Beis HaMedrash. Torah is a higher level than the cherub tree. It's a higher level than the Baskol. Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm revealing to you my will. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It's not through any mediums. Fact is, that's what Bilam said. Bilam says, what do you want from Yisrael? There'll come a time when the angels will have to ask Yaakov and his sons, Mapa Elkeil, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? Because Klal Yisrael will be right around, right with the throne of Hashem. On the throne of Hashem, while the angels are around. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy. He says, my sons want no substitute. They want no substitute for me. They want me. Here, I show them all kind of mysteries. I show them that the walls of the Beis HaMedrash can move. I show them that the cherub tree can move. I show them that the canal can dry up. I even bring down a voice of heaven. They say, we're not interested. We're interested only what the Torah says. Because the Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Nitzchuni b'nei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy. They're interested. That's why all of the other nations, you show them those things, they'll run after it. They will just run after it. But not the Amchochem Benovein. Now, you can run after it, not us. This is how the Morau explains this Gemara. Not only that, but it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chadi B'chidushin Araiso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mesameach when Klal Yisrael can be Machadesh in the His Torah. When they can use the Torah to come to further conclusions that were never heard before, even greater conclusions. In accordance to this, what we've learned, the Morau says as follows, at the end of Perek Tesvov in the Siva Torah. He says, if you have two people, and each of them now are coming to find a conclusion in Halacha. The first one goes to what the Morau refers to as the Kitzurim. The Kitzurim would be your summarized editions of the Talmud. At his time he was referring to the Tur Shulchan Aruch. But the Kitzurim are your condensed summaries of what the Halacha is. And the first person looks it up. He finds the Halacha. He says, this is the Halacha. And it's Emes, it's two. And another person, same question or similar question, he goes to the Yama Talmud. He goes to the Sea of the Talmud. He learns through the Gemaras and with all the commentaries, the great commentators saying it, Rashi and Tosfos and others. And the great labor and great intellect, like we learned. And he seeks the truth. And he brings it all. Masik Shmaitza Libri Hilkasi. He brings it all to the final halacha. And he comes to the final halacha and he paskins it. And it's an error. The Morau says something more profound. He says the second one is greater than the first. Shein is bottle me arishon. And not only that, he's more choviv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because the first one is not Torah. That's not Torah. It's opening a book and seeing the answer. That's not Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in the answers. He's interested in how you came to the answers. With these 48 attributes. Did you come to the answer through Binas Halev? Did you come to the answer through Arichas Fosayim? Did you come to the answer through Pilpul Chaverim? Well, you're machkim as rabbi, like Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. That's the Torah. We see a different version of Torah here. Torah is not gospel. You go and you go to the priest and you ask him the questions, he gives you the answer. You see, what is a Torah? Kodesh Baruch Hu wants a person to bond his intellect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intellect. And from there, come out to a conclusion. He says, second one's far greater than the first. And he'll have reward, because that's Torah. Don't have to be right all of the time. It's impossible to be right all of the time. As long as the person is seeking the truth, and he does his homework, and he labors, even if he comes to the wrong conclusion. The other one, he says, that's not Torah at all. And he writes as follows. He says, Abel Yisrael deray lehem ha-Torah mitzar ha-seichel. Torah is befitting to Israel from their human rationale. Ki ha-Torah ha-seichel Yisrael lehem beprat. Torah is miyuchad. Torah specifically belongs to Israel. No other nation would accept it. And he quotes the psukim we brought. Ki mi goy godol am chochom v'novein. Ki miuchodim Yisrael lekabel ha-seichel min Hashem Yisborach. Yisrael in particular are able to bond with the intellect and rationale of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'kemei shomar Yisrael. He says, like we say, when you see a wise man of the nations, a person in the nations who's wise in the nation, in the wisdoms of the world, there you say Baruch Shanosan Chochma. He gave wisdom to flesh and blood. But when you see a Chochm the Torah, you say Shecholak Me Chochmosa Lireyov. He imparted. He shared his wisdom with them. We're speaking of sharing wisdom with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with our wisdom, the bonding of the wisdom. And he says, that's Israel. And with that, he goes even further. He explains the Gemara in Masechta Seita, Davkov Beis Omer Aleph, that the Gemara says that someone who learns superficially, for example, he learns Mishnah, but he didn't go into the sea of the Talmud. It's important to learn Mishnah, but then to carry it into the Talmud. But he learns superficially. And the Gemara says he's a kusi. The Gemara has a whole string of names for him. So one says he's a kusi. Another says he's a magushi. What was a kusi? He says the kusim were, I believe they were the Samaritans. The Samaritans or not, no? The Kusim were an offshoot of Klal Yisrael that it states certain mitzvahs they kept, certain mitzvahs they didn't keep. They had different ways of darshaning the Torah. And it says what they kept even more than Yisrael. And those mitzvahs they kept, it says they were so frum, they were frumer than Yisrael. That's what the Gemara says. Now, calls this person a kusi. So he says, why? Because he writes, Eloha yolehem ha-Torah mitzar ha-chochma. They didn't have Torah from the point of, from the perspective of wisdom. Rak shenoagu kach. They just did the mitzvahs. Ve'in asiyas ha-mitzvahs rak mitzar ha-seichel. Mitzvahs have to be done from the person's human rationale with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rationale. That's how mitzvahs have to be done. We have to bring ourselves up with our rationale and bond it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rationale, and then from there come out the mitzvahs. They had no wisdom in their mitzvahs. They did it because this is what they did. It was rote. It says someone who learns Torah superficially and he does mitzvahs, he's a kusi. Rav Acha ben Yaakov comes along and he says he's even worse, he's an amagushi. What's a magushi? He says as follows, Hu mechashiv. There was a sorcerer. Shu medaber veina mevin mahu medaber. A sorcerer says, abracadabra, all these words, and something takes place, but he doesn't have a clue why. So it's machine. It's mechanical. There's no wisdom in it. A person who does mitzvahs without the wisdom of the Torah, that's not Torah. That's the worst thing. He looks at Torah like it's some superstition. What's the difference? You got all the goyim practice superstition, so we practice a different superstition. What's the difference? Who says your superstition is better than mine? Maybe mine's better than yours. No. He says they treat it as a superstition. And that's the worst thing. Because a superstition is dover pochus v'shofel. There can be nothing at a lower ebb than a superstition because there is no wisdom or intellect in that at all. He says, that's why you always found, where did you find the superstition to be prevalent? Amongst the country folks, amongst the ignorant, the uneducated. Now you take Torah, that is the greatest wisdom of all wisdoms. It was given to a nation, it could only be given to a nation that had such a brilliance to understand it. And they're practicing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, they take my Torah and they practice it as a superstition. That you do this, it'll be good. You don't do this, it'll be bad. He says, like the country folk and the populace out in the farms that were illiterate, and you give them all kind of babamaisim. He says, that's pochas v'shofel, that's the worst. Because of the lefichach ha-kishuv davar zor, he says, that's why kishuv is something which is very alien. Right? Superstition and witchcraft is alien. What is it alien to? He says, it's alien to the yashrus of the Odom, to the straightness of man. What does yashrus mean? Yashrus comes from the intellect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the intelligence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed the person with. Sorcery is an affront and an evasion to the intelligence of the human being. And the Torah was built on the intelligence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the human being. Ki aseichel hainu misha mashu roi v'hayosher. So we are learning here that Torah is to take the enormous intelligence and the enormous abilities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to man, put that into the Torah with enormous labor, lifelong labor, and bond it to his intelligence, and from there comes out the mitzvahs. Now we can see why the Chachamim didn't want to answer, they didn't want interest in the blazer. What are you bringing me? You're bringing me intelligence. Bring your ayahs, bring your proofs, let's hear. They heard their proofs and they rejected them, they refuted them. And why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so happy? He would sit over in the name of the Rosh, and this is very important. For Yeshiva Bochim, when they learn Gemara, then the Rosh said, Le'nishtapchu kol ha'rishayinim ele bisforis yishorish alehem. All of the great Rishayinim, they were praised for their straight thinking. Not for how much they knew, how much information they knew, how much people they could know. But le'nishtapchu ele bisfora ha'yishorish alehem. Their straight ability to think straight with an intelligence thought. And that they use to labor through Torah. The truth of the matter is, these principles that we are referring to this evening, this refers to all wisdoms. This is the pursuit of all wisdom. But then, 1,000 times over, when it comes to the wisdom of all wisdoms, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom. I'll give you an example, because give you two examples. We lived at one time in New Haven, Connecticut. New Haven was the home of Yale University. And from time to time, we would have students from Yale over for the Shabbos, Jewish students and so forth. There was one we became friendly with who was at Yale's law school. And at that time, I don't know how it is today, at that time, Harvard had was known as the finest medical school in the United States, and Yale had the finest law school. So he would tell us that when they would give tests to the students, they weren't interested in the right answers. He says, that anybody can do. You do your homework, you study, they give you tests, they give you cases, and you write the answers. They weren't interested. The professors were looking for a chidush, you see. They were more interested in what this person could come up with, something unique, something profound, something that they haven't said before, that can hold water, and that can stand the test of an intellectual barrage. That's what they were looking for. This is relevant to all wisdoms. Well, wisdom is not what just pushing buttons, information. It's analyzing, it's assimilating, it's being a salev, the building, the development of wisdom. That's one illustration. A second illustration, I was speaking to a friend who lives in Eretz Yisrael today, a great doctor. He's a great expert in his field. And we were speaking about dogma. He was complaining there's too much dogma in Torah. Can't step out of line. That wasn't during my time. There again, who were the great people? Those that could be machadish, that said something that was unique. That did step out of line. So he was saying, he says, this is true in all wisdoms. He gave me an example. Because at the time I was speaking to him, there were two doctors that had just won a Nobel Prize. At that time, they were from Australia. I had happened to follow this story, and it started about 5 or 10 years ago. There were two doctors. One was an older person, a pathologist, and the other was a young gastroenterologist. Independently, they were working on something very, a great chidush, something very, very unique. It was always accepted that peptic ulcers were caused by increased acid production and weak stomach lining protection. This was what was accepted, without a doubt. They were interested in disproving that and showing that there are other causes to it. And they worked for a long time. Eventually, they got together. They were taking on the whole medical community, like Lahavdil, like Rabbi Yehuda Anossi. The fact is, the pathologist was referred to in his hospital as the crackpot. That's how he was referred to, because they knew they were seeking. They claimed that it was caused by a germ. A couple of years ago, they proved it beyond a doubt that there's a strong link to the cause of this ulcer is the presence of a particular bacteria. They proved it without a doubt now. And it has universally changed the treatment of peptic ulcers. Now, what did this doctor want to tell me with this? He told me he studied in universities by world-class professors. My professors were world class. If you would have written on an examination paper that peptic ulcers are caused by a bacteria, they would have failed you for medical school. He said they would have failed you. And he said, my professors were world class. But these two doctors challenged it. They were ridiculed. And they were browbeaten. Crackpot. But they challenged it, and they pursued it. They had trouble finding funds for their research until they overturned. And he says, this is medicine all the way through. It's not one case. The whole progress of medicine is this way. Any great progress made in medicine was done through this way. This is what he was telling me. So this is by all wisdom. So then you can imagine by Torah. Let me conclude that in Tells, during my time, and this is how it was in all of the, I'm sure, in all of the great yeshivas of Litta, they never gave smicha. Today you hear that this person is on a smicha course. He's doing the smicha course. How long is your smicha course, people ask me. I tell them it starts from the day they walk into the yeshiva. What do you mean smicha course? Never heard that. Well, don't you have a course that they have to learn something and you test them on it and it takes just so long? I said, no. In Tells, they never gave smicha for a person who became competent in a certain area of Shas or Shulchan Aruch in particular. It didn't exist. They said, you learn up this, study it well, we'll give you a test, and then you get smicha. It was non-existent. Heaven forbid. They didn't give smicha to the information. They gave smicha to the person. They gave smicha and they wrote this in the smicha. If they saw that this person, this individual, had the abilities to go into the depths of the Yama Talmud, of the Sea of the Talmud, and to be Mechadish Chidush Ilar Aisur, and he could come up with substantial, unique points and conclusions that could hold water in accordance to the truth of Torah, and he had Sfora Yeshora, straight thinking and straight intelligence in his learning of Torah, and he knew how to lahavdil lahavchin. They used to write this in the smicha. They would write it lahavdil lahavchin. He knew how to distinguish between one thing and another with a clarity, and to bring the shmites and the hilchasa, to bring the whole discussion of Torah to its actual halacha. And he had the good qualities, character traits, and yirah shamayim to go with it. Oh, that's a person we want to give smicha to. Well, they tested him on a narrow piece. He knows this, he knows that. Never. They wanted that he should have a lot of experience in learning Talmud. They wanted he should have experience in learning Shulchan Aruch and so forth, yes. But that was not the criteria. This was the criteria. This is someone they would give smicha to. The Yam HaTalmud, the Talmud is called the Sea of the Talmud. Now, just like the sea. The sea is immense, both in breadth and in depth. And there is so much wisdom in the sea. There's so much life. They are still discovering things in the sea that they never knew existed before. Ad Ein Sof. And just like in the sea, there is the opportunity for every scientist. It's a golden opportunity for every scientist, Lisgadlboy, to grow great in. Endless discoveries, endless kiddushim, endless conclusions, as long as he seeks the truth, and he's not from the tipshim, from the shaitim, from the fools that deny that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the sea, but wants to claim the stupidity that the sea made itself. That we're not talking of. Yeah. So is it with Torah. Torah is a sea. It was given to Klal Yisrael. If a person believes, it was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's endless. It's infinite. And it was given to Yisrael to go into the greatest depths possible through the search for the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which he can bond his intelligence to, and come to all types of worthy principles and thoughts and conclusions. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. This is the Amelis Petora. So therefore, that's why we have in these Memches Dvorim, these are encompasses, besides these two that we mentioned tonight, 16 areas of how a person has to pursue this to become great in Torah. And then Moshe Rabbeinu gave the prophecy, the nations of the world will not think that you're shaitim chas v'sholom, that you're fools and stupid, but they will say, is there a nation in the world that is so brilliant and so intelligent and so straight thinking? Is there another one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have given his Torah to? There is no other one. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave his Torah to Israel. We should all be zeicher to have a Chag Shavuos and a Chag Matan Torah b'simcha u'b'shalom.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.